This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. Throughout Canada, look for AMI Audio from your TV. Eastlink customers, channel 887, and Pacheco, Ontario, channel 596. Visit ami.ca/audio for a list of channel locations in your area. Kelly McDonald hosted the program in the London, Ontario home studio with Ramya Muthan in Toronto.
Kels, we like to check in with our content development specialists on Wednesdays and Fridays here on Kelly and Company. And Ryan Delahunty is our guest today. He's joining us from Halifax. Lots of stuff going on in Halifax. Ryan, how's it going?
Good. It's been busy, but pretty pleasant. The weather's been mostly agreeable, a little rainy, a little humid, but nice overall.
Nice. Okay, good average. We like that.
Yeah.
Let's start with a subject that you've actually regularly discussed on our programs, the sorry state of accessible taxis in Halifax. This is not the good news, but earlier this year, council decided to contract out a new accessible taxi-style service, and now they're looking for community input on how to make it best happen, or how to, did I say that right? How to best make it happen, and wondering what's the latest on this?
So there have been quite a few improvements to our public transit and even some improvements to our accessibus services in Halifax. But the number of accessible taxis available in the city has been rapidly declining over the last decade. We went from having, I think, dozens down to just a small handful. Often there aren't any on the roads whatsoever. So it's gotten to the point where a lot of people who would like to use that sort of a service, they just find it impossible to get one when needed. And so, you know, I've heard a lot of plans proposed over the years. There's been a lot of talk to fix this, but the city hadn't really taken any action despite a lot of great suggestions coming from the community. But that seems to be changing now. So they did hold a virtual engagement session back in December, and then in February announced plans to contract out a new accessible taxi-style service in the fall. And so this is in the hopes of allowing people with disabilities, often power chair and wheelchair users, to be able to take spontaneous trips in the city, just like everybody else, without being at the mercy of the much more limited and, for the city, much costlier to operate accessibus service, which had sort of been the only option. And the plan is for the city to pay a fee to this contracted company, whoever they may be, to provide a taxi-style service that is accessible and without being unduly, you know, financially onerous on the user, that the users will pay standard taxi rates for their trips. So now they're looking to hear from the public on what specific standards this taxi style service needs to meet. So looking at things like how many vehicles should be available, via what methods should customers be able to book their trips, how quick a response time should there be, and interested citizens are invited to fill out a survey to provide this important feedback.
And just to you know, let them know that thumbs up, this is huge and a great, you know, wonderful addition to the accessible transportation that's already there. But as you said, kind of limited, right, Ryan, when we're talking spontaneous trips like they, and things like that. So really well needed, much needed service that's close to becoming reality. How can people fill out the survey?
So residents are invited to complete the survey online before August 13th, 2021, and it's available at shapeyourcityhalifax.ca. You can just go to that website and find the link, or for the specific page, shapeyourcityhalifax.ca/accessible-taxi-style-service, and that'll bring you right to the survey. And they're hoping people will also share it through social media, any newsletters they may have, their email, their personal networks, to make sure that they're getting as much input as possible to really create a framework for how this service should operate.
Ryan Delahanty from our Halifax office. Ryan, I like these call to actions. I love the fact that people are comfortable, they're using them, and it's really, it shows you how the disability community or any community is a little bit smaller now, and that we have access and can say, hey, guys, need you to draw some attention to something here. This one is on the long-standing issue of the institutionalization of people with disabilities. Ryan, what can you tell us a little bit about the Road to Inclusion 2023?
So the Disability Rights Coalition of Nova Scotia has issued a call to action, and they want everyone able to let their elected representatives and the candidates in our upcoming provincial election know how they feel about the foot dragging by the provincial government on their promise of equality and inclusive communities for people with disabilities. This stems back to 2013, when the current government committed to closing institutions and providing community-based living supports for all persons with disabilities within 10 years. So that was due by the end of 2023. It was all set out in a document called the Roadmap, a plan to community inclusion, drafted jointly by the province and disability rights advocates, and then endorsed by then Premier Stephen McNeill and his government. With just over 2 years left to the target date, the Disability Rights Coalition's recent report on the roadmap's implementation makes it very clear that not only has progress towards inclusion been glacial, but in several respects, there have been some serious backsliding on the province's commitment to the roadmap's vision of community inclusion for persons who have experienced decades-long segregation and discrimination in accessing the services they need to live in the community.
So at this point, looking at it and what voice they're using, what are the major commitments they're seeking from government? And as you've mentioned, this goes back years and years and years, but there's always, as we know, current hot button topics.
Absolutely. So the roadmap, you know, was set out a decade ago, but the issue's, you know, gone on for much, much longer than that. Yeah. They've got four major commitments they're seeking from government. The first being that they commit to a firm 3-year budget on an immediate basis in order to end wait time so that all eligible disability supports program applicants will receive immediate access to appropriate supports and services to meet their needs under the Social Assistance Act in accordance with this roadmap. And a big part of that is looking for 806 new independent living options in the community by December 31st, 2023. So, you know, I think that's why the red flags were going up, that unless something dramatic happens, in no way were they going to create these 806 new options in the next 2 years. So also number two, to provide all persons with disabilities in need who are financially eligible, meaningful access to community-based services within 3 years and end the discriminatory practice of excluding some people with disabilities from access to independent living options in the community. Three, end institutionalization of people with disabilities now and close all institutions for people with disabilities by 2023. And then finally, to provide funding for enhanced ongoing training and education, along with professional development and employment for residential care workers, to build sufficient community-based capacity and ensure that wages and benefits are adequate so that they can retain and recruit and retain these workers to actually assist people living in the community.
Awesome. That's really amazing. How can people get involved in the letter writing campaign?
Easiest thing is just to visit the website www.drcns.ca to access the draft letter, and you're encouraged to make it your own, personalize it as much as possible, but they have that template you can follow to at least give you a good start, or just to send that as it is and sign it, you know, personally. They also include email addresses for the Premier and the opposition party leaders that it should be sent to, and you can also, if you have any questions or just want to reach out in a different manner, email them at disabilityrightsns@gmail.com.
Great. And Rye, before we go, finally, what can you tell us about the recent announcement of major accessibility upgrades being made to one of the most popular beaches in New Brunswick?
Yeah, I thought, you know, being summer, we could end with a little bit of good news. And so people are really excited about this one. We've seen a few beaches in Nova Scotia upgraded. But this was really great news for New Brunswickers, where the provincial government is investing $400,000 in accessibility upgrades at Parley Beach Provincial Park. Construction's underway to build several wheelchair accessible facilities as part of a partnership with Ability New Brunswick to improve beach access and the overall experience for all visitors. So these things include a new comfort station, which will have wheelchair accessible washrooms, indoor showers, family changing rooms, and sheltered outdoor showers. The station will be located at the most convenient spot along the beach with proximity to the parking lot, sand, and the water. A nautical themed playground is also being built next to the comfort station and will be accessible to all children. It'll feature a playboat and a swinging ride in the shape of a raft. The interior of the new comfort station is in its final stages, and the new playground is currently being installed, with additional work including installing a concrete sidewalk around the building and some landscaping as well. And the beach also plans to purchase an accessible mat, probably one of the very popular Moby mats, which will create a flat surface across the sand to provide access to the water for wheelchair users, strollers, and people with any sort of mobility concerns as well.
So cool. We were talking to Julie Martin, our community reporter in Pictou County, Nova Scotia, talking about the accessibility of beaches coming over there. And it's just awesome, because we're talking very specific features, you know, like accessible maps. It's a very specific part of your beach experience, your playground, whatever it is experience that you're trying to have during the summer. And we're seeing slowly but surely lots of upgrades, right?
Absolutely. It's been great where I think the focus was on urban environments for so long being made accessible, and there was still so much to be done. That there wasn't really much progress being made in trails and parks and beaches. And so it's great that, that realization's been made, and we're starting to see some major improvements along those lines as well.
Yeah, and looking forward to more of them for our adventurers out there. Thank you so much, Ry. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
My pleasure. Take care, and make it to the beach if you can.
Oh, absolutely. Ryan Delahunty joining us from Halifax. He's our content development specialist over there, and we like to chat with our colleagues Wednesdays and Fridays here on the show. Kels, anything that really appeals to you about the accessibility in beaches and parks?
Well, you know, I just love that it's a conversation, because as we talked about with Julie, it's the last thing people would have really thought about before, right? You just figure, oh, you got to walk on hot sand or not. And just to see these conversations happening by city councils, to me, is beautiful.
Especially hitting the water. Anyway, anyhow, being able to get your vehicle, your scooter, your wheelchair into the water, whatever disability or challenges you may have had, is incredible. And that's what I consider equity.
Yeah, me too. Instead of dismissing the importance of it or even saying, geez, yeah, I guess people might with a disability want to go to the beach. Yeah. Folks, we're going to continue AMI Staff Day right here on Kelly & Company. In the next hour, we'll be covering things, all things employment, with Alicia Yardley of AMI's HR department, including tips on writing resumes and cover letters. We're talking with Mary Mammoliti. Oh, there's the outlier. We'll be talking everything peaches today on the show. But up next, it's The Buzz with Bill Shackleton.
You've been listening to Kelly & Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.